there will be a lot, much larger turnout, obviously, on November the 4th. And one of the featured events of the general election ballot is going to be question one. Question one in Massachusetts would abolish the state income tax. The state income tax is currently 5.3%. If you're making 50 grand a year, you can give your, you can vote to give yourself a $2,500 or $2,600 pay raise if you vote to abolish the state income tax. And it's a very hard fought measure. The big unions, the big public sector unions, have raised a ton of cash to fight it with. They've been bragging up on Beacon Hill the last week or so that they're ahead in their own personal, their own private polling by a 50, I think something like 51, 41, something like that. I don't think it's that high considering the fact that in 2002, I believe it was, when this was first on the ballot, there was the other side, the pro-abolition side, had no money, and they got 45% of the vote. But there's been a couple of stories sort of putting in my newspaper, the Herald, putting the knock on the forces of, that are supporting question one, that want to abolish the income tax. And we're going to, by the way, we're going to have some bumper stickers very soon that say hell yes on question one, and we'll be giving those out in the next few days. But there have been some stories in my newspaper saying that Carla Howell, who you've heard on this show, and her friend Michael Cloud have been making a lot of money off of promoting it. They, you know, you do the math, and it comes out to $16,000 a year that they've been making. That's not exactly big money. In the United States, there's a guy watching Zip Connolly's trial down in Florida, Francis X. Joyce. Franny Joyce used to be the head of the Convention Center Authority. He's got a write-up in the paper this morning. His pension is $68,000 a year after running the Convention Center Authority into the ground, a former tin whistle player in Billy Bulger's band. But I digress. Then today we have a story in the paper, Kooks fueling anti-tax crusade, and they don't live here, exclamation point. I mean, how come when out-of-staters were fueling with their cash the campaign to keep gay marriage off the ballot, we didn't see any stories like this. There's a gay guy who forgot to get his signatures in Somerville, a state rep, who is now trying to run on stickers today against a guy named Bob Train, who I'm for, by the way. I would advise you to vote for Bob Train if you haven't voted yet in Somerville. The gay incumbent has got 80% of his money is coming from out of state. No one's made a big deal out of it, have they? You haven't read any stories about that, have you? But now question one is getting money from outside, and the people are being described as kooks. Joining us now on the line is Barbara Anderson from Citizens for Limited Taxation. I know that I got an email from her friend Chip Ford today at about 6:30. He was bull bleep, Barbara, about the story. And I can't say I was too pleased with it myself, but I just figured I'd put you on to sort of defend the people who are bankrolling this at a much lower rate, by the way, than the public sector unions are bankrolling the other side of the issue.
Yeah, the headline in the Herald said, out-of-state kooks back anti-income tax drive, and then the flash is crackpots. And I'm thinking, gee, I send $100, but so do I get to be an in-state kook and crackpot? I guess I do.
Barbara, I'm a crackpot, too. Most of the people listening to you and me talk right now, I would guess 70, 80% of the people listening to us are crackpots or kooks.
And if they aren't, there's something wrong with them.
Since when do you have to be a crackpot to want to give yourself a 5.3% pay increase?
Yeah, I was recommending everybody look at your income tax form from last year, and then whatever you paid in income taxes when this is fully implemented in 2 years, that's what you no longer have to pay. And that's a good thing, but I'll have to tell you, Howie, and for me it's a little under $2,000. I am not in this for the money. I don't care how much I get back. I just want them to pay for having taken our income tax. I mean, all we wanted was a 5% rate, and the voters voted for an income tax rate of 5%, and they kicked us in the teeth.
Right. This was, and we voted for that 5% cut 11 years after we were told that the income tax increase was a temporary measure. So now we are 19 years out from the temporary measure being passed, and it's still temporary.
That's right, and it's still 5.3%. And so, therefore, I figure if they don't want to do 5%, then let's do zero.
Yeah. You know, the other thing, too, Barbara, is that this is, you know, they talk, this is a big year for change, right? Everybody, both the Republicans and the Democrats are talking about change. It seems to me that this is the only way to change the state government in Massachusetts. I mean, every week there are these stories. You know, last week it was the guys stealing the Longfellow Bridge. I mean, whoever thought that we would reach a point where they would start stealing bridges?
It's like that old joke. I've got a bridge I can sell you, but you don't have to even pay for it.
I've got a bridge I can sell you. I'll meet you at the junkyard in Everett where I've got the bridge stashed right now.
It just gets better and better. I mean, at the point now where I'm not asking anybody to behave. I'm just saying, go ahead, keep it up until November 4th. Give us one more reason. Give me one more police detail to drive by on my way to the polls.
Yeah.
You can reform it.
I know, and then we have to read, Deval Patrick has such courage to take on the police details, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, because there's not really anything going to happen to the police details, right?
Well, I don't know. I have a kind of theory on this, that, as you know, I'm no big Deval Patrick fan. I'm still waiting for my property tax cut. But I think he kind of has a private sector mentality. I don't think he's afraid of the unions or knows he's supposed to be afraid of the unions. I think what he's been doing on this, on the GIC, you know, the health insurance thing where the unions have been resisting having the cities and towns buy into the state plan, I think he's giving them enough rope to hang themselves, giving them every chance to be reasonable, minor changes here in police details, going along with the GIC will give you all a chance to vote on this. And then when everyone's perfectly clear on the fact that the unions will not cooperate in any way whatsoever for even the tiniest little change, then I think he's going to be willing to come in and make some big changes if people vote yes on question one, which kind of gives him the tools. He's not asking for the tools, but I think when people have made it clear how angry they are, it's sort of going to be like Nixon to China. I think he will be willing to come up with some real changes in the pension systems and the health insurance.
I hope you're right, Barbara. You've always been much more optimistic than I have.
I always have been that way, and I'll have to tell you and your audience how I have always been wrong in my optimism, and you have always been right in your cynicism.
1-877.
It's my turn.
It is your turn. And again, I just want to say, let's talk about, I was talking with Chip about this earlier in the day, and he sent some of the stuff into email. Let's talk about where the money to fight question one is coming from, which is coming in at the rate of, what, 5, 6, 7 times what the rate of the pro question one kooks and crackpots are supplying. Where is the money coming from, Barbara?
Well, I'm sure you'll all be surprised to hear, shocked even, to hear that $1 million of the $1,500,000 in cash contributions and $245,000 of in-kind contributions came from just two sources, both out of state.
Really?
$750,000.
Were they kooks and crackpots?
No, they were hacks and thugs, Howie. That'll be tomorrow's flash headline on the Herald, I'm sure.
I'd prefer kooks. I prefer dealing with kooks and crackpots.
I do myself. But here in Massachusetts, we've done
some
our share dealing with
both
the hacks and thugs. And the out-of-staters, the National Education Association, and the American Federation of Teachers Solidarity Fund, they have been giving money to Massachusetts teachers and public employees to fight question one.
And this is money that is assessed by union members. They don't have any choice about this. You can be a non-crackpot and a non-kook, and you're still going to have to pay to fight question one, even though you might be voting for it.
And you can be an in-state kook or an in-state
crackpot,
thug, and whatever the teacher union people are.
Yeah.
And you're assessed to do this too. But I remember every ballot campaign we've ever had to cut taxes, going all the way back to Prop 2.5. The out-of-state teacher unions have sent millions of dollars into our state to fight our ballot questions.
Yeah, I don't understand what the difference, why it's a big deal for Carla Howell and Michael Cloud to be getting money from out-of-staters when the other side is getting money from out-of-staters, and it's apparently not, you're not supposed to criticize them for this.
What people have to understand is we have a brotherhood, too. We have a union of taxpayers all over the country, people who have sympathy with each other because we are all taxpayers and we're all having to fight anytime we want any kind of limitation or cut or decrease in the rate of growth. we're always up against the same enemies, the public employee unions. So we all help each other out. I went out to Washington State once, Montana. Howard Jarvis came here from California to help us kick off Proposition 2.5. We all help each other, too. I don't see anything wrong with any of that.
1-877-469-4322, 1-877-469-4322. And again, Barbara, it is the only way you're ever going to get any change here. I mean, you have even when people try to do the right thing, like Mumbles trying to crack down on the fire unions. I mean, look at the crap he's taken, you know? And another firefighter arrested for drunk driving over the weekend. And I was thinking about, I was right at that intersection about 5 hours before they had this terrible auto accident there involving the allegedly drunk firefighter and the allegedly drunk guy he struck. You know, I mean, this is a public sector union that doesn't want any changes. We saw yesterday with the police unions; they don't want any changes. I mean, there's only one way to get anything done here.
Well, there's two ways actually. We can do question one and force some change while there's still wiggle room to get something done. Or we can wait until we're in the situation of that little town in California that is now declaring bankruptcy because the amount of money going out for public employee health insurance and pensions is more than the amount of revenue coming in. So the little town is declaring bankruptcy. And how much good do you think that's going to do, the policemen and firemen and the teachers out there who thought they were going to get pensions, and now the cities and towns just don't really basically economically exist anymore?
Isn't it nice that Franny Joyce, former head of the Mass Convention Center Authority, has a big enough pension that he can have a condo in Pompano Beach and go down to Zip Connolly's murder trial every day in Miami?
Well, it's certainly...
$68,000 a year pension. He's like about 60 years old.
We're going to file legislation this year that's going to say that if public employees are going to have pensions, they are not going to be able to start collecting until they reach the age that the rest of us can start to collect on our pensions or Social Security, which would be 59 and a half or 62. And also that they're going to be figured out, determined the amount that they're getting the same way our Social Security is determined by the average of all our working years, not the three highest years. So that'll be in the, you know, we're going to file the legislation, and that'll be there if question one passes when the legislature comes back and has to figure out how they're going to deal with question one. Our idea will be sitting there. And there are a lot of ideas. I mean, groups all over the state like the Pioneer Institute and the Beacon Hill Institute, they were both there testifying with the governor against the police unions last night. They've had all kinds of ideas. Even the Mass Taxpayers Foundation has had all kinds of ideas, but then they're always out there recommending tax increases and fighting tax cuts, so their ideas never get implemented.
The Mass Taxpayer Foundation says in this morning's Herald story, it's very troubling that these out-of-staters are giving money to the Question One forces. Very troubling.
Yeah, well, it's very troubling that the Mass Taxpayers Foundation calls itself a taxpayers foundation, too. But the fact is, it does have good ideas that never get implemented. I mean, the businesses give it all kinds of money to come up with all these reports. And then the reports never get paid any attention to, because why should the legislature pay attention? They've got plenty of money. Well, come January, maybe they'll all be running around looking for those reports, looking for the state employee who had a good idea last year and everybody laughed at him, looking for the taxpayers who call their legislators with good ideas, and they'll be saying, did somebody have a good idea? I think we might want to do that now.
1-877-469-4322. We'll be on the air after we leave in Boston and on Cape Cod. We'll still be on WCRN AM 830, or you can always listen to us on the internet at howiecard.com. Go to the live audio streaming. We got full lines here, Barbara. Want to talk to you about this question one. Don, you're next with Howie Carr and Barbara Anderson from Citizens for Limited Taxation. Go ahead, Don.
Hi, Howie.
Hi.
I got a question a lot of us in Western Massachusetts are wondering, because a lot of us work out in Connecticut. Currently, we pay the state income tax in Connecticut, then deduct that from our what we owe in the Massachusetts income tax. If this law passes, how does that affect us? Do we still have to pay a Connecticut income tax?
Well, that's a good question. Barbara, do you know the answer?
Unless somebody has a question on the ballot to repeal the Connecticut income tax, I would assume so.
Well, he just wants to know is he going to be able to write off the Connecticut income tax if the Massachusetts income tax is gone?
Write it up off against what? He's not going to be paying any Massachusetts income tax. There won't even be a Massachusetts income tax form.
No, but Don, you get what you're saying is you get to write off whatever you pay. You get to balance it off against what you would be paying in Massachusetts, correct? Is that what you're saying?
I have to pay a Connecticut income tax. What benefit is it for me to want this thing to go away if I'm going to have to pay Connecticut income tax anyways? And there's thousands of us out in Western Mass that work in Connecticut.
Barbara?
I just had never quite thought of it that way. I always think about those people who live in places like Connecticut or more even worse, New Hampshire, who don't have an income tax, who come down here to work and then have to pay our income taxes. They won't have to do that anymore. So I'm thinking in terms of people in New Hampshire who won't have to pay a Massachusetts state income tax along with not paying a New Hampshire tax.
I think probably Don does speak for a lot of WHYN listeners who work in Connecticut. So we don't know the answer to that question, Don, except what about helping out your neighbors?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, what are you going to lose by voting yes?
This thing, but if I'm going to have to pay income tax in Connecticut anyways, why should I get screwed over? I'm not gonna vote for it.
Okay, Don.
Thanks.
1-877.
I've always been puzzled by people who move and go from Massachusetts, which is one of the highest tax states in the country, to Connecticut, which is the highest tax state in the country. What are they thinking?
Well, I mean, it's different out in Western Mass. I mean, it's, you know, like when you live out in Western Mass, you go to Connecticut to go to the airport. You know, it's just the two states. It's like Eastern Mass and New Hampshire. It's the same area, basically, the same metropolitan area.
Except Connecticut taxes are higher than ours.
1-877-469-4322. Dave, you're next with Howie Carr and Barbara Anderson from Citizens for Limited Taxation. Go ahead, Dave.
Hey, Howie. Hey, Barbara.
Hey, Dave.
You know, we get this up north all the time. I'm an election official that when we get these kooks and wackos coming up from New Hampshire, not only bringing their money, but bringing sign holders from the firefighters and the rest of them, I'm told, oh, well, but that's their First Amendment right, so we really can't say anything about that. You know, it's perfectly okay. And I pay taxes in both states, you know, so I'm certainly going to letter up my truck for hell yes on one, you know.
It's funny how it works, isn't it? When they do it, it's their First Amendment rights. When we do it, it's an attack on the political traditions of the Commonwealth.
Yeah, because we got a situation where we've got all these economic refugees from Massachusetts moving up to New Hampshire now, and now they want all the services and all the taxes. Like, wait a minute, what do we got? New Massachusetts here? Go back where you came from, and they'll have sidewalks and trash pickup, you know? But no, it's crazy, and Massachusetts, they're the worst, because I have to go through so much grief every year figuring out my mass taxes. They always try to hose me for more. And like this last year, they got me. They're trying to tell me I owe them $1,000 that I know I don't owe them. But you know, they're gonna levy my accounts and all this other happy baloney. You know what I mean? And all I do is drive through the place. You know,
Barbara.
And you probably don't. And so you don't get even to vote here, right? Do you?
Of course he doesn't. It's taxation without representation, isn't it?
Well, I thought we fought a war over that.
That's right. It was called the Revolution. Thanks for the call, Dave. Rob, you're next with Howie Carr and Barbara Anderson. Go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, calling from the tax capital of the U.S., Vermont.
Yes.
I got a couple of comments and a question. You know, we found up here in Vermont about 20 years ago we were supposed to get a temporary sales tax, and we still got it. You know, so to liberal thinkers, you know, anything compared to forever is temporary.
Yeah, temporary. There is no such thing as temporary when it comes to taxes, right, Barbara? Just like there's no sunset. It's the land of the midnight sun when it comes to sunsetting taxes.
Here's my question. I'll join the tax revolt, you know, any day, but I'm looking at a seesaw here. On one side is the income tax, and on the other side is the property tax. As soon as that goes down, the other goes up. So I don't really think you get ahead. And so I think probably of the two evil taxes, in my mind, and I think people I speak to, the property tax is the more evil one. Let's bring that one down first, or eliminate it, like Palin did.
Well, you have to realize that here in Massachusetts, we have the initial petition process, and we created a law back in 1980 to limit our property taxes, and that law is still in effect. So I can't imagine that the legislature getting a vote from people to say, repeal the income tax, are going to take that as a sign that the people want their property taxes to go up.
And Rob, so, we had a governor who was just elected claiming he was going to cut down the property taxes, and since he's gotten into office, he hasn't mentioned it not once. And the other thing, too, is Sarah Palin had an advantage over the governors of Governor Douglas of Vermont or Governor Patrick of Massachusetts. She had a lot of oil revenue coming in. We don't have that that option here. Thanks for the call, Rob. Mary, you're next with Howie Carr and Barbara Anderson. Go ahead, Mary.
Yes, hi. As a teacher in Massachusetts, short of having you come to my school to explain why this needs to be passed, could you give me an argument, an explanation I can give to the teachers when I go to the union rallies?
Are the explanations specifically geared toward teachers?
Yeah, why it's a good idea to pass it, because I don't have to tell you that when we go and we talk about it, they talk about what a terrible thing it is that they get rid of the state income tax.
Well, they said the same thing about Proposition 2.5 and the income tax rollback. I mean, the teachers union, and that doesn't necessarily mean individual teachers who are taxpayers also, wants as much money as it possibly can for higher benefits, higher pay, and lifelong health insurance. And I'm sure that's fine for them, but it's not so great for the rest of us.
1-877-469-4322. With us is Barbara Anderson, the chairman of Citizens for Limited Taxation. And she's here. There's a story in my paper today calling people who are contributing to the Question 1 campaign account. Question 1, of course, would abolish the state income tax of 5.3%, give everybody in the state who works 5.3% increase by doing away with the tax. My paper is calling them kooks and crackpots, and it's crazy, and people are being attacked for being out of state. And that's, you know, again, when they send busloads of people from Massachusetts up to New Hampshire to campaign, that's just good. That's just good American exercise of your First Amendment rights. When gays from San Francisco and New York send money in to try to make sure there is no referendum question on gay marriage, that's, again, First Amendment rights. They send money in to try to protect a gay state representative, First Amendment rights. You send money into Massachusetts to try to do away with the income tax, you're a kook and a crackpot. It's ridiculous. Barbara, how do people get in touch with your organization if they'd like to know more about Citizens for Limited Taxation?
Well, they can go to our website, you know, www.cltg.org, just Google Citizens for Limited Taxation, and our website has everything they need to know. We've got a whole section on pension abuses, which we call the ticking time bomb. We have a whole section on the Mass Taxpayers Foundation and where their money comes from. And, of course, we've got a new section on the budget if you want to know how to analyze the state budget. And we have a link to the Question 1 campaign if anybody wants to go there and get involved.
Yes.
So it's Citizens for Limited Taxation or www.cltg.org, or they can call us at 508-384-0100.
Give that number one more time.
508-384-0100.
John, you're next with Howie Carr and Barbara Anderson from Citizens for Limited Taxation. Go ahead, John.
Hi, Howie. Am I on?
Yes.
Hi, Howie. Hi, Barbara. God bless
you. Hi, John.
I'm from New Hampshire. And I've been paying 5.3% tax to you for so long, and maybe 5.9 at one point.
If only it were to us.
And I do have an answer for you on the taxation from a different state.
Yes.
I was discharged from the Navy, and my wife had a job in Hawaii, and we came back here to New Hampshire, and I had a job in Massachusetts. So in Massachusetts, I was paying about 5.8% tax at that time. I think it had to be 12 or 14 years ago. And I got a tax bill from Massachusetts and Hawaii for their maximum tax. For instance, in Hawaii, I was paying 3% tax. In Massachusetts, 5.8. They want us to pay tax on both states for that income. So we paid the Massachusetts tax, and we were able to write off the Hawaii tax.
Okay. But in the either way, you wouldn't have lost if the Massachusetts tax vanished.
We wouldn't have lost. Hawaii would have got their money. Massachusetts would have got the remainder. So in other words, it wouldn't have been 5.8% to Massachusetts. It would have been 2.8% and 3% to Hawaii.
Right. So you still would have come. You still come out ahead if this thing had been on the ballot back then.
Exactly. So
yeah.
For the gentleman that calls him Connecticut, if Massachusetts still has 5.3% and Connecticut has 5.8% and it goes away, they would only have to pay the 5.8% to Connecticut. There'd be nothing for Massachusetts.
Yeah. Barbara, I was thinking about that guy's question, the guy that lives in Massachusetts but works in Connecticut. The other thing about it is most of the states that have no income tax tend to be more prosperous than the states that do have an income tax. they tend to be more economically growing than the other states, like Texas, Florida, New Hampshire. And, you know, maybe the guy wouldn't have to go across the border to Connecticut to work if we did away with the income tax. Maybe the economy would take off like it has in these states with no income taxes.
Well, that's certainly one of the arguments that Carl Howell is making. And once I get past my, you know, you didn't want to do 5%, how about zero? Then I start looking at the potential for economic growth here in Massachusetts so we can turn the state around. And then, of course, there's also the argument that in a state where people have taken control and have a little bit of respect from their legislature, maybe we can look a little more like New Hampshire, where we don't have a culture of corruption like we have here in Massachusetts.
It's a kleptocracy. That's what it's become. So, you know, we're just going to take $12 billion off the table. That's $12 billion less for them to try to steal.
Government of the bureaucrats and for the politicians and nothing for the rest of us. The services here are not better than New Hampshire. New Hampshire services are better. Their tax burden is one of the lowest. Other states I like to look at are Tennessee and Washington State, very much like us. Tennessee is one of the states that our people escape to, no income. Washington State is another high-tech state, no income tax. Why can't we be like New Hampshire?
Yeah, I don't know. Has anyone stolen a bridge in New Hampshire recently? I don't think so. That's, I guess those are some of the benefits
of
civilization.
That's our defining issue. Well-run states, nobody steals bridges.
If question one passes, who will you call when you need a bridge stolen? How about those bridges that will fall through the cracks and not be stolen, Barbara? I'm repeating my Sunday column now.
Yeah, you're getting a little carried away with your theme here.
Steve, you're next with Howie Carr and Barbara Anderson from Citizens for Limited Taxation. Go ahead, Steve.
Hey, Barbara, how you old curmudgeon?
Anyway, that's
for you, Howie.
Yes.
You know, I'm as conservative as they come, Howie. I talk to you all the time. I'm slight to the right of Attila Hunt. But if you came out with some sort of plan that shows how we're going to pay for the things that, even though I hate the state still has to pay for, like prisons and the court system and the state police and things that I've come to, you know, rely upon.
I'll tell you the court system, Steve. There's a large half of the district courts could be shut down. Would you agree?
Come on, Howie. In this state, who's going to prosecute Bonomo and everyone else who steals from coffee machines?
Well,
the AG is
the one who's prosecuting Bonomo. I mean, what I'm talking about is, do you ever go by these district court, like Palmer District Court, Natick District Court? There's never anybody there except the hacks who work in the courthouses.
Howie, what I'm saying is if the plan wasn't I'm taking my ball and I'm going, you didn't give me 5.3, which is what this whole thing is. If there was more of a plan of, hey, this is how you can pay for the state without an income tax, I think you'd have a lot more people thinking you were fools.
Steve, that's CLT's position. We're angry because we respect SDA, and without that, the state doesn't work for us. Now, you have a choice here. You can vote question one, and then everyone will settle down and try to find the best way to run the state, the kind of money that they use to run the state in New Hampshire and these other states. Or you can bend over and tell them to do it to you again. Those are your choices, the only choices you have. Which one are you going to do? Are you going to be a sucker and a fool and just keep asking for it? Or are you going to fight back and vote yes on question one?
What I'm saying is I don't make protest votes because I'm a thinking person. What I'm saying is the people in this state who you're trying to reach, which are sort of these
middle-of-the-road. I'm a thinking person, too. I think you're getting screwed, Steve, and I think everybody who asked to get screwed is hurting all of us.
It's hurting the Commonwealth,
hurting our ability to function as a Commonwealth, because we keep taking it and taking it because, oh, we're thinking people. We're not like those kooks and those crackpots who really think that it's their money. Oh, no, the state has to take whatever it wants from us, and we can't fight back because, gee, where will the state find the money like all the other states that have more money than or better services than we do? So you go and think, Steve. People like you are more of a problem than the bureaucrats and the teachers' union and the politicians. People like you just give them what they need to make fools of us all. So vote no. We will get along somehow without your vote, and bend over.
Thanks for the call, Steve. Where's Chip? Chip was going to be on. Chip went away. Chip Ford was on the line there for a little while. I don't know what happened to him. Bill, you're next with Howie Carr and Barbara Anderson from Citizens for Limited Taxation. Go ahead, Bill.
I'm a little scared. I think Barbara's in a bad mood right now.
No, I'm only in a bad mood. I'm used to liberals. I'm used to politicians. These people don't accept me. It's people who should know better. say these stupid things that really drive me over the edge.
Real quick, I've been hearing a lot of rumors that the state is looking at has a $2 billion deficit right now, that they're way behind, the revenues aren't there, and they're sitting on that till after the election. Are you hearing anything like that also?
I don't know if they're sitting on it. I think it's become pretty well known that they've got a huge deficit. Plus, there's the huge unfunded pension liabilities, plus the deficit for the bridges and roads. The state's broke, basically, and they're not going
to
do anything about it until after the election.
Barbara, we have to make sure Franny Joyce gets that monthly check so he can keep going down to Zip Connolly's trial every day from his condo in Pompano Beach. You wouldn't deprive Franny Joyce, the tin whistle player in Billy's band, of his $68,000 a year pension. It's the least we can do for him after his career in public service.
Yeah, here's what you have to understand. If question one does not pass, it just doesn't mean status quo, that we're going to go on the way we have been going on. There will be a tax increase next year because the legislature will take the vote, a no vote, as a sign that the voters in this state will put up with anything. And therefore, they can do whatever they want, and they might as well raise taxes again to cover their revenue shortfall.
I agree. That's the way it'll be seen. I mean, they'll say that the people are satisfied. That 52%. The thinking people who know that we deserve to have Bunker Hill Day off, that we need district courts, not so much to prosecute criminals, but to provide jobs for the otherwise unemployable lawyers. We need police details so that
we need to retire at 55 and get another job and lifetime health insurance.
Right. All public sector workers need those vacation condos in Pompano Beach so they can go down to see the trials of the Winter Hill gang members who are accused of murder in Miami. You know, we don't want any hacks to fall through the cracks, do we, Barbara?
No, the choice is not a 0% income tax or 5.3%. It's 0% or 5.9% or 6.2%. There is no upper limit.
1-877-469-4322. Tom, you're next with Howie Carr and Barbara Anderson from Citizens for Limited Taxation. Go ahead, Tom.
Hey, Barbara, I will not bend over for anyone.
Good for you. man.
So let me tell you this. Howie, I want to know about that reg that you work for. Were they crying about the outsiders when the DNC was on the phone with the devil all the time before that gate, the gay marriage amendment?
I just said that, Tom. You know, I mean, it's not a that wasn't a big issue. That wasn't kooks and crackpots. That was people exercising their First Amendment rights.
I mean, how do you think the devil got the speaking gig at the DNC? Because he didn't allow that to get to the.
I think he got the speaking gig because he's a friend of Barack Obama's. That's what that was all about, wasn't it?
If you're doing this on your website, but you should have people just write in with the good old suggestion box and put ways to save money up there. You know, Howie was talking about the district courts. How about this one? You go into a probate court in the state of Massachusetts, you're dead when you walk in there. How about it make it mandatory where everyone who goes into, you know, a husband and wife or seeking divorce, they have to go for at least 2 hours of mediation before they even get into probate court.
How about we stop the registers from looting the copying machine boxes that the cash is kept in? That would save a lot of money right then and there. Thanks for the call, Tom. Glenn, you're next with Howie Carr and Barbara Anderson. We have time for one more call, and then we got to go. Go ahead, Glenn. Quickly. Hi.
How are you? I'll be quick. Barbara, do they ever do studies about whether or not raising or lowering taxes makes any difference in an economy like ours right now?
Oh, sure. I think a lot of studies have been done on what you can do with a tax cut that will stimulate the economy. There are different kinds of tax cuts. But I don't see how things can get too much worse here when you have our most productive people either leaving or thinking about leaving and leaving behind what the public employee union is hoping someone's going to keep paying for their pensions.
Jack Kennedy had the most famous quote on cutting taxes, right, Barbara? A rising tide lifts all boats.
That's right, when he cut the capital gains tax.
And it did. You know, he was right. But he could never be elected in a Democratic primary now because that's anathema to what they believe. Barbara, thanks for being with us. We appreciate it.
Okay, thank you.
Barbara Anderson from Citizens for Limited Taxation. Go to their website, cltg.org. I'm Howie Carr. Neil, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Neil.
This is Neil. I actually live in Connecticut and work in Massachusetts.
Yes.
And I think I'm on board with Barbara. I think this is great. I think if you manage to take down the income tax, that'll send a missile over the bow of all these other states that also have a state income tax.
I know. And you know, that's nice. But what we're more concerned about is just doing something for ourselves. It would be good for you, wouldn't it? You would if you didn't have to pay income tax. You have to pay income taxes in Massachusetts, right?
That's right. But my feeling is, if I stop paying income tax in Massachusetts, Connecticut will somehow get a hold of my money.
We have to fight them through on every street corner, Neil. You know, they are men and women of unceasing malevolence, as Billy Bulger used to say about people in the dreaded pride. He used to say that about people at the Boston Globe. I'd say that about people like Billy Bulger. Hacks, people of unceasing malevolence. I'm Howie Carr.